Today I'm going to talk about efficient way to do data compression in stream processing. So this is a joint work with my colleagues at Microsoft Research and also Johns Hopkins University. So stream processing plays an important role in multiple different applications such as Internet of Things, data centers, big data analytics. And one key characteristic that we observe while working in many of these domains is that they generate a huge volumes of streaming data with real-time processing requirements. So this puts enormous pressure on the capacities and bandwidths of servers' main memory. So one question we ask in this work is whether data compression, as one of the well-known techniques used for databases, for example, and in hardware, can be useful for streaming. Intuitively, think about the streaming process where a lot of data keeps coming through multiple different operators, is that it should be, at least for simple operators, bandwidth bottlenecked, either at the network level or at the memory bandwidth level. So in order to confirm that intuition that I also validated and, while talking to many different streaming engine developers at Microsoft, we perform an experiment. So we take a state-of-the-art streaming engine that is used at Microsoft and Azure called Trill, and we did a very simple experiment where we take a WHERE query that runs over a large one-column data with 8-byte integer fields. Essentially, it's something like a query described here, a WHERE query where you just check an error code of the data, whether it's equal to zero or not, so the simple as it can be. And the expectation is it should be memory bandwidth bottleneck, and if it's the case, then we can probably try to use compression to mitigate that. Well, the results, as it always happens, were quite disappointing despite the intuition. So what we observed is that at least in, even in this idealistic scenario, compressibility doesn't necessarily mean performance gain. So essentially what I'm showing here is that WHERE query that we described, and I'm comparing a scenario with no compression where each field is 8 bytes versus ideal XX compression where I just take each field and convert it from 8 byte to 1 byte, right? And you would observe, if it's memory bottleneck, to see significant benefits here. And this was a 24-core system with hyper-threading enabled, so we ran experiments after 48 threads. And as you can see, the benefit of 8x compression gives you only 10 to 15% performance improvement. So clearly there is something going on in Trill and observing in other streaming engines that doesn't let you benefit from data compression or any other techniques that could improve the memory bandwidth. So what went wrong? So I put my computer architecture hat on me and I did a very extensive profiling. So what I found is there are several sources of inefficiency that relatively straightforward to address that unfortunately are part of the Trill code base. First of all, it's written in C#, so the memory allocation overhead is outside of my control because it's essentially it's just-in-time copy of payloads to create a streamable event that has a lot of overhead. Then there is a lot of overhead coming from memory copying and reallocation that we need to create a column-oriented data batches for streaming. So these two items by itself takes about 2/3 of the time of the execution, which is ridiculous. So, other two cases of inefficiency, sources of inefficiency are inefficient bitwise manipulation. So when we work, even for WHERE query, we run with a lot of bits, like where we set the bits where the predicate is true or not. That needs to be very efficient, and unfortunately, the current implementation in C# is not like that. And another source of inefficiency we observe is hash table manipulations that used a lot in streaming. So all that altogether caused that huge inefficiency in processing engine, and I'll show later how that can be avoided. So the answer is, okay, is there any hope if there are all these overheads that are tied to the implementation? Can we do something better? Is it really, if we fix all of that, we can get good performance? So here is the positive part of the story. So if you, instead of this nicely developed streaming engine, we take a streaming micro benchmarks. For example, a stream suite that had multiple different benchmarks like add or triad. What you're going to see is that with the same number of threads, and if we do the same thing, this is 8-byte version, which essentially saturates very quickly. This is an ideal compression with 8x compressibility and no overheads, just the benefit of pure compression. What you're going to see is that in the presence of no artificial bottlenecks, the code base here is in C++, so all arrays are statically preallocated. You see almost proportional speed up, proportional to the compression ratio. So we were able to see up to 7.6x speed up with 8x compression. So clearly, this gap from blue to green here is a promising thing. But the question is, can you actually get that with something realistic? And here we show that if you take one algorithm, and I'll talk about it later, called base delta encoding, and implement it even in software, you can get up to 6.1x speed up. So this red line here represents how much of this benefit we can do by just naively implementing a simple algorithm in software. So this clearly tells us that there is some hope. So the question is now how to achieve that. So after having these motivational experiments, one of the conclusions I made, there is this prerequisite that you need to do if you want to have an efficient streaming engine, no matter what you use. And those includes these three things. So you want to have fixed memory or pooled memory allocation that would let you control how much time you spend on memory allocation, especially in streaming with batches. You roughly know how much memory per batch you need, so you can pre-allocate this ahead of time. So you want efficient hash map primitives, and you want efficient filtering operation. If that's done, then compression can be actually promising. So the next observation we do after we actually build a prototype with all these fixes is that memory bandwidth indeed becomes the major bottleneck if streaming is properly optimized, and there is would be a benefit of data compression. The next question is whether data compression is always useful, and it's really data dependent, right? So the one thing we observed for a lot of workloads I had in Azure is that the dominant part of the data is synthetic. It's either generated automatically, it's performance counters, timestamp. The synthetic data in nature has a lot of redundancy, and that redundancy can be actually exploited through efficient data compression. So with this key observation in mind, we build our prototype system that we call Terscate, which essentially mimics the regular streaming engine, but one distinct difference is there are a compression-decompression engine permanently involved. So what is common in Terscate with other streaming engines like Trill or Spark Streaming is there is an event stream keep coming as an input. But the difference is that as events come, they immediately compressed, and they're stored in the compressed data store with some algorithm that I will describe later. After that, we need to apply different operators on that data store. But because the data in the compressed form, I cannot immediately do that. Every time I need to access this data, I need to do decompression first, which puts decompression logic on the critical path of the execution. So if I do many different operations on my data, I might need to call decompressor multiple times. That clearly tells you that the decompressor plays a big role in the efficiency of this system. So this is essentially a high-level overview of the design, and we make several key design choices and optimizations for this to work. So first of all, the question is which algorithms to use. And in the paper, we extensively study those different algorithms. In summary, I can say you what we found. First of all, we use lossless compression algorithms for the most part, but sometimes we also use lossy. For the lossless compression algorithm, what we found is that for this synthetic data sets, or generated data sets, you actually would better use arithmetic compression algorithm like base delta encoding instead of classical dictionary-based algorithm like LAMPL-ZIF, because they're very heavy, especially their decompression is extremely heavy, and that overhead is permanently added and kills the benefit of compression. So you should use arithmetic algorithms, and you should really optimize decompression to whatever you use because it's always on the critical path of your execution. So this is one of the key lessons we learn. Another important thing is that lossy compression can be useful if you can guarantee that there is no significant output quality loss. And this is also possible if you put certain requirements on your algorithm, and also it's possible when you know ahead of time which query you are running. Obviously, as I show in one of the previous motivational graphs, compression decompression overhead is always added to the compute, and you want to do everything possible in your hands to reduce this overhead. So what we try is to do hardware-based acceleration of compression decompression by using vectorization and also GPUs and FPGAs. So we try all available hardware for our hands. And last but not least, we tried one much more radical optimization that we call direct execution on compressed data that I will introduce in a few slides. So let's go out a few of these choices in a little bit more details. First of all, which algorithm we use for lossless compression? So as I announced before, we use something called Bayes delta encoding. It's a very simple algorithm that I previously used in my work, even in cache compression or memory compression. Essentially, what it does, when you get a set of very similar values with low dynamic range, what you do is, for example, this is timestamps, and those timestamps, almost all streaming data have them. What you do, you found some base, like some time here, and everything else is stored as an offset, a delta from this base. So for example, here you see some small variation in time stamps. So instead of storing them in full, you're just storing in small deltas here, right? That allows you to easily get this data compressed. So why is this algorithm especially good for streaming? Well, it has extremely fast decompression, pretty much as fast as can be. You can decompress the data by just doing a vector addition, just taking this base and add with all these deltas. You get all your data back. So it's as fast as doing a single instruction computation. Second thing, both compression and decompression has a relatively straightforward implementation that can take up to like 5 to 10 cycles in hardware implementation and also simple software implementation. And of course, it's important to observe that it actually gives you good compression ratio, right? So this algorithm can actually be useful and competitive against more sophisticated algorithms. So this is our baseline for lossless compression. For lossy compression, we use two algorithms. In integer space, we use Bayes delta encoding modification, where essentially, if we know the range of the values and the precision we need, we can truncate some deltas or even fully remove them if we don't need full precision of that deltas. And in the floating point space, where it's very difficult to compress data in lossless manner, we actually use one of the state-of-the-art algorithms from the HPC domain called ZFP that is equivalent to Bayes delta encoding, but just in the floating point domain. And one important characteristic of this algorithm is that it allows to guarantee you the precision you get after compression. So I can tell you specifically, give me the values that are 6 digits precise after dot, and it can give me a good compression ratio with these requirements. So those algorithms that we use for lossy. For compression overhead reduction, what we use is we use CMD vectorization, we use GPUs, NVIDIA 1080 Ti card, and FPGAs. And we observe that all of them can give you amazing throughput, especially for Bayes delta encoding. But it turns out for the purposes of our study, a simple CMD vectorization gives sufficient enough bandwidth of decompression. So those extra compute that those accelerators give me. I didn't find any queries where I can benefit of it out now, but it's nice to have them because like FPGA gives you roughly about 20 to 30x more decompressions per second than vectorization. And the last but not the least, this is this relatively new idea that we announced that we called execution on compressed data. So what's special about it? So as I previously said, if you keep the data in the compressed form, every time you need to communicate with the processor, it doesn't really understand that the data is compressed. I have to permanently compress and decompress the data. So it's a lot of overhead, both in terms of latency of compression, decompression, and of course, it's high energy overhead. So one question I ask is, can we leverage data being in condensed form such I don't only avoid this overhead, but I can actually do better than the baseline? And the answer is actually, the answer is yes for some queries. So here is one common example that I like to show how this idea works. So you have a classical key value store where values are stored separately to preserve the locality. And let's say these values are an integer 8-byte values stored in memory. So let's take those values and apply compression to them with, say, base delta encoding. So it will store some metadata here, and you're going to get those values that are now smaller, 1 byte. So what happens if I run a simple WHERE query in a baseline case? So here, without compression. Well, in order to search, if I have n values, I need to have n 8-byte comparisons in order to find where the values is matching or not. Why is the compressed version is better? Well, because metadata already stores some information about the range of my values. It tells me the base and roughly that the range of the deltas. So if I'm searching a value like 2,000 and I know that all my values are now from 0 to 1,000, I can completely avoid any comparisons for these values. So this is in the case where my metadata tells me that the value is outside of the range. So it's good in this case. But what is interesting here that even if you're within the range, it's still better. Because that value now, instead of comparing full 8-byte values, I only need to compare 1-byte deltas, which with using vectorization, I can reduce the number of comparisons 8x. So no matter whether the value happened to be in the range or not, I either do just a single comparisons or n divided by 8 comparisons, which is significantly better than the baseline system. So this way, having data in the condensed form is actually not a burden. It actually can be a benefit for you. So as the results, we observe that you can actually execute on compressed data. You have much lower latency because you completely avoid decompression. But you also can do either single comparisons or narrower operations that would lead to the case where you can run much faster than even the baseline system. So let me now show you a little bit about our results here, and I will point you to the paper for more results if you're interested in a more detailed evaluation. So as I announced, we use CPUs, 24 cores, Intel Xeon cores with SMT enabled and plenty of memory. We use GPUs and FPGAs for hardware acceleration. So I'll start with the micro benchmarks I showed you before, add benchmark from the stream suite. And just to remind you, so this is the number of threads, this is the throughput measured in millions of records per second. And at the bottom, I have non-compressed version. Here, the green line is ideal compression, 8x, where I convert the long field into a simple char field, which is 1 byte. The red line, the red line is the compressed one, the blue one is the baseline, and the green line is the one where I applied vectorization. So what you can see here is that vectorization is very helpful to avoid the overhead when I have a relatively small number of threads. As I keep increasing the number of threads, eventually I become fully memory bottlenecked, so I cannot really benefit as much as before. But clearly, it makes you close to the ideal case. But what's interesting is what happens with direct execution. There, so here, this is the baseline with no compression. This is just compression. This is ideal compression with no overhead. And this curve here, the purple curve here, show what you can get for a search benchmark with direct execution. So it's not only improves towards ideal compression, actually is much faster because I actually do way less computation thanks to the data in compressed form being useful to us other than being a burden to decompress it. So this shows you that out of all techniques we do, even though it's relatively restricted to some queries, it has a huge performance potential. So we obviously not only evaluate this on the micro benchmark. So at Microsoft, I actually implement the streaming engine on several different realistic queries. One of those workloads that we used is monitoring and troubleshooting benchmark. Essentially what it does is between different Azure machines, there are periodic pings going to check the reachability of the machines. And this is the query we run to figure out which machines actually exceed certain threshold in their return trip time. And we count those numbers. So this is just monitoring whether you get some bad nodes that are not very well reachable. So as you can see here in this query, I have certain data types, timestamp, error codes, source cluster, destination cluster IDs. And this is all encoding for all different compression algorithms I applied for them. So it turns out to be that here we can also get, in realistic scenarios, a very good performance benefit. And it not only works with these simple queries, you can even run something much more sophisticated with join and group apply operator, and it still will be useful for it. But this is the main benchmark I will use for studying, which is essentially a probe count between different server nodes. So I'm going to show on this slide is what are the total benefits of performance compared with different baselines. So this is, again, throughput in millions of records per second here, and this is different design. So this is Trill. It has 3 million records per second. This is non-optimized version where you just take Trill and rewrote some of its backend in C++. This is all the optimizations I talked about at the beginning with memory allocation. So here I finally become bandwidth bottleneck, memory bandwidth bottleneck. And these different design choices show you that you can progressively improve performance of all these different baseline with lossless optimized and lossy optimized having all these different optimizations. Overall, the total performance of 15x improvement in throughput was observed, thanking for this optimization, which allows us to replace 16 machines with pretty much just one machine to run in analysis on those queries on a regular basis. Here I'm showing a graph on the individual, the performance benefit of individual optimization, individual queries like where and group apply. And you can see here that the time varies and the most optimization comes, as we've seen, the micro benchmark is from direct execution, which is applicable for where query but not to group apply. So this is why group apply, where query improves much more than the group apply compared to the baseline. We apply the similar technique to many other domains. So I use it in the for performance counters. I show they can get 6x compression ratio with a different algorithm for performance monitoring of different systems. We also applied it to different IoT data sets, like geolocation data from Microsoft Research in Beijing. We applied to weather data that we collected for the Hurricane Katrina in 2005. All of that shows you that there is significant potential of compression without loss, significant loss in accuracy. And there was prior work, obviously, especially in database domain, where compression was used in databases, most notably Sakint in an SDI 2015 and Sigmod paper more than 10 years ago. They also tried to apply execution directly on compressed data. In the first case, the key difference that it was done only for the text data that is way less compressible, plus it requires a full redesign on the of your data store. In this work, they use algorithms that won't be applicable for streaming because they were way too complicated, and so the benefits of compression were way lower. So in summary, the key questions we ask in this work is whether data compression can be effective in stream processing, and I think we can claim an affirmative answer. Is our Tursky's design is the proof of that concept. So you need to properly optimize the baseline system. You need to use lightweight data compression with hardware acceleration. And you can use more aggressive optimization, such as direct execution on compressed data. And the results on several realistic scenarios that use in real systems shows that sometimes you can replace 16 servers with just one due to this optimization. So this is it, and I'm happy to take questions. Thank you.
Hi, it's very interesting, Tom. My name is Sungho Son at UMass Lowell.
Nice to meet you.
Regarding your direct computation on the compressed data, mm-hmm. is there any flexibility to put any kind of operation? Because in your example, you showed only range comparison, yeah. but user might have different use cases.
Yeah, very good question. Yes, so the short answer is it's query operator dependent. So in the paper, we show a certain class of operators that preserve linear properties. That way, you can actually apply this trick. It's quite wide, but it's not everything, right? So it depends on the query. But the benefit are also quite significant, so it's worth optimizing for it.
Yeah, I have a quick yeah? comment. Regarding direct computation on the compressed data, I think the one of the national lab, they have the compression algorithm called FastBit. Mm-hmm. I think that the algorithm also allows you to do some computation.
Computation on top of it. Yeah. Thank you.
Hi. So in one of the first figures, you showed that you apply the compression just after the data source. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if there is some queries might actually generate more data mm-hmm. than the original. So have you given any thought of trying to compress data coming out of some operators and then maybe decompressing and how you would approach this?
Yeah, very good question. I didn't have any realistic scenarios having where that happened. So sometimes it happens during joins. So it might be possible. So then we try to apply compression. But in all real scenarios, it never happened. So, but you can, on the queries that we actually run in the production at Microsoft. But it can happen, so if you actually synthesize enough data, we have a threshold, and we actually apply compression again. But you need to be careful because that's costly. Mm-hmm. Because the cost of compression is higher than decompression. Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Hi, George and Rosie, CMU. Excellent work. So how flexible, how embedded is the compression algorithm into your pipeline? Like if I have my own compression algorithm, can I bring it with me and just replace what you're doing right now?
Yeah, it's actually quite flexible. I work on the library before where you can actually make a very easy API to replace those things. So mm-hmm. it's essentially you just need to follow the rules, like give us certain parameters, like an array of data, and you need to return the compressed size and compressed data afterwards, and you can just replace it, right? Nice. So you can just take your C++ or something code, and you can just plug it in our library. Excellent. So it's relatively flexible.
Which naturally leads to my next question. Is this available?
Okay. Yeah, well, some of that I can release the compression, but some of the code is Microsoft, because I developed it while I was at Microsoft. So then mm-hmm. even Trill is closed source, unfortunately.
Yeah. Okay.
But we're planning to release something in the future.
I have another one since no one's waiting.
Okay.
So if I have data where I write it and then I don't read it very often, mm-hmm. and so the decompression overhead is not a big issue for me, mm-hmm. Would you suggest that I use some sort of lossy algorithm if I want to optimize for capacity or like a dictionary-based one? What would mm-hmm. you suggest?
So what we found is the dictionary-based algorithms are extremely slow unless you probably do them as an ASIC. So they essentially kill your performance like 10x. So we show the numbers if you use even simple LAMPL-ZIF or Huffman encoding just way too much for streaming, right? And compression is quite heavy. So it's like you need to think about it. This is all if we're thinking about memory bandwidth, so it should be on par with memory accesses in terms of latency. If I have something beyond like 100 cycles, you're done. So it's just too slow. So it's possible to use some algorithms, but they need to be relatively lightweight. So it has to be mostly arithmetic-based, not the dictionary-based, not sequential, parallelizable ones.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.